The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
We're going to get straight to the elephant in the room this morning, the latest on the RTE payments and spending. And my name is on that list of top 10 highest paid presenters in 2025, last year before I left. There's another story in all of this which refers to me, which shows that RTE paid me for 2 months towards the end of last year when I wasn't on air with them. So I just want to explain to you how that happened. So I resigned from RTE in the summer. My contract, though, ran until the end of the year, December 2025. And I made it clear I was happy to stay on and work there until the end of my contract. But RTE came to me and told me that they wanted me to finish up at the end of October. That was their right and their decision. So that's how that happened from my perspective. Now, RTE has revised its list of its top 10 highest earning presenters for 2024 to include Derek Mooney, after it reconsidered what constitutes a presenter for the purposes of that list. The Public Accounts Committee is also querying the use of taxpayers' money by RTE to send 41 staff and contractors to Czechia for the World Cup playoff semi-final. So for more of this on this, I'm joined by Alan Kelly, Labour Party TD, who's chair of the Media Committee, and Seamus McGrath, Fianna Fáil TD and member of the Public Accounts Committee. And Alan Kelly, I'll come to you first. I know you have members of RTE, of the executive team there, coming into the committee next Wednesday. Does this change what you'll be asking them?
Well, certainly it adds to the list. We were dealing with pensions and we were dealing with issues in relation to the funding, which has been given by government, which is an annual thing we always deal with. And I'm glad that you cleared up that issue in relation to your contract. Obviously, it was a question for a minute. I thought I'd be interviewing you for a second, but I'm glad you've
Well, I hope I have cleared up. But if there is anything that you want to know, I'm quite happy for you to ask me.
I mean, essentially, if there was a contract in place and all of that, then obviously the management team next week will deal with that. That was a question, obviously, but the real question is, why did this change in 2020? Why now? Why did this come out now? Because, as you remember, 3 years ago, we went through weeks and weeks and weeks of dealing with this issue, and surely there would have been a full audit done, and this would have popped out.
Mm-hmm. Derek Mooney, is it?
Yeah. Well, yes, and maybe that's alone. Maybe there's nobody else. And why wasn't it seen then? But the key question is, you know, if this methodology is the methodology, if you apply that methodology in reverse, would the top 10 list have been different? And it looks like it would have been. Mm-hmm. And really, there needs to be an explanation. I understand from what Kevin Backer said, obviously different management in place and they had different views and stuff like that. But, like, I mean, if a presenter is a presenter, you know, in 1 year and is a presenter, obviously, in the years previously, surely the methodology, I believe from a committee perspective, we would be asking if you apply that methodology to apply it backwards and see, would there have been changes?
Yeah, Kevin Backhurst on Morning Ireland this morning said that Derek Mooney's reclassification as a producer was perfectly justifiable. Now, I don't know the exact producer pay scales in RTE, but I doubt very much if there is another producer on that salary level in there.
I wouldn't know that either. We'll be asking questions like that again next week. But I suppose the real question is why this occurred now. I understand the CFO is leaving. Why did it occur just now? Secondly, is why wasn't this seen in 2023? And I suppose thirdly, when it comes to the methodology, reverse engineering a methodology like that for years previously, surely the list would be different. And obviously, you know, that would be a concern because, you know, I thought we'd gone past all of this, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's really, I suppose a lot of it comes down to trust and transparency. And RTE, in fairness to them last night and this morning, said that this has come to light because they're following the agenda of transparency.
Yeah, and I have to take their word at that, fairness to Kevin Backhurst. But our committee next week will certainly be asking questions in relation to this across all the areas which I knew have just spoken about, particularly as regards why now, why not in 2023 did it not come to light? And I suppose, you know, there are very few people left inside an RTE at a high level who would have the historical knowledge, but there may be one or two. And finally, you know, from a methodology point of view, you know, a presenter is a presenter. and a producer is a producer. It's clearly defined like what they are. But if you are partly presenting and now you're saying that that methodology is the methodology we use, well, surely the list going back a number of years would have been very different. Well, not very different, but different anyway. And that's something that I suppose that we'll be asking questions about.
I know in the past when issues have arisen in relation to RTE that you hear directly from people in RTE and you've said that publicly. Have you heard from people over the last 12 to 18 hours about this?
Oh, loads. Yeah, lots of different people raising various different issues and questions and concern and worries about, you know, these issues. So, you know, I think it's important. It's actually, it's accidental, but because they are, we're due to come in and see us next week. But I think it's pertinent too, because I know from dealing with this for many years, along with my committee members, that it's better that we deal with this quickly now. If everything is as it is and there aren't really any other issues, well then, you know, I think it's important from a confidence point of view that we put this to bed, but we trash it out next week in front of the committee. So I think it's very apt and timely that it is happening next week, because certainly we need to, given, you know, the JNLR figures that came out as well yesterday, ironically enough, but also the funding model, issues in relation to TV license, issues in relation to pensions, issues in relation to employment contracts, issues in relation to redundancy, issues in relation to a whole range of other things, that we put this issue to bed once and for all. Look, there may be, it may be very straightforward explanations in relation to this, given the amount of management change there has been in RTE. I have no reason to doubt that that isn't a factor. But, you know, we just need to discuss it with them and go through really the historical issue of if this is the methodology now, and if that methodology was applied previously, obviously, I would say that the list would be different.
Okay, so you think the list might look different in other
potentially,
years?
Potentially, yes.
Alan, I know you're under time pressure, so I let you go and I'll go to Seamus McGrath from Fianna Fáil and member of the Public Accounts Committee. Seamus, I know there is a particular reason in relation to Chechia why the Public Accounts Committee is saying now they want to see members of the leadership team. But what about this issue, the top paid presenters list, Derek Mooney and other related issues, including my own, as I've outlined. Do you want to talk to RTE about those things?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Yes, absolutely. And look, for some time, we are of the view that RTE should be subject to scrutiny by the Public Accounts Committee, and they should be audited by the CNAG, the Controller and Auditor General. And as you know, there is the Broadcasting Amendment Bill in the works. The heads of that bill have been published, where the recommendations of the Expert Advisory Committee will be implemented. I think we will see a time in the near future when RTE will be effectively subject to the Public Accounts Committee. But of course, there is nothing stopping the Public Accounts Committee inviting RTE to come before us. It would be on a voluntary basis, and I would ask that RTE would accept that invitation, because I think what has come to light now has raised a lot of questions. I think it is damaging to RTE, and I think it does damage public trust in RTE in terms of the use of public funds. And let's be clear here, there are significant public funds going into RTE from the year 2024 to 2027. The government have committed 725 million, for example. It's a very substantial amount of taxpayers' money. So we have to be sure that there is proper scrutiny of that. And that is exactly what the Public Accounts Committee is all about. So this does raise questions, and I would agree with Alan Kelly there, that revising the list for 2024 isn't satisfactory in my view. We need to go further back over previous years. We need to interrogate the decision in 2020 to remove Derek Mooney from effectively the presenter list to a producer list, which isn't published. And that decision, I listened to Kevin Bankhurst earlier, and I wasn't satisfied with the reasoning giving, to be perfectly honest. He said it was a perfectly rational decision in terms of the rules that applied at the time. But they have taken the right step in revising the year 2024, but they need to go further. And I think there needs to be further interrogation in terms of those previous years as well.
So that list, as Alan Kelly said, the list for 2023, 2022, 2021, that they may need to change as well, you believe, in light of what has emerged?
I think that's essential, Claire. I mean, they took the right step in relation to 2024, and that's welcome. And you know, we take their bona fides in terms of their transparency and what they're saying their intention was there. But they've only taken the one right step. They need to go further. And when you listen to Terence O'Rourke, or when you listen to Kevin Bankhurst, they're not giving clear, plausible answers in relation to the previous years and the decision to remove Derek Mooney from that presenter list. Look, he's a very he's a well-known public figure. People see him as a presenter. He's had many years presenting shows on RTE. And I think that decision is a very significant decision, and it needs to be probed further. And look, to be fair to Derek Mooney, I don't think he did anything wrong here. This was a decision by RTE, and they have to answer for that decision. But I go back to what I said. The Public Accounts Committee is the committee set up to, you know, ensure that there is proper spending of public money and that there is proper accountability, transparency and scrutiny. Mm-hmm. So I believe it is only fitting that RTE would come before the Public Accounts Committee. And while we can wait for the legislation to come in and for the full compellability powers of the Public Accounts Committee, we shouldn't have to wait for that. And I would be saying here this morning that RTE should voluntarily come before the Public Accounts Committee to answer these questions.
So you're pretty sure the invitation will go from the Public Accounts Committee to RTE on these matters?
I am pretty sure of that. Yeah. And it was raised yesterday in relation to the World Cup coverage, the Ireland versus Chetney game, and the trip to Prague, and the 41 employees and contractors, which is an extraordinary number. And we don't have the full detail in terms of the cost of that. Mm-hmm. But again, that raises serious questions, and that was raised yesterday. And
But they broadcast, they said at the time, Inside Sport, Liveline, Morning Ireland and 2FM Drive would be in Prague providing coverage of that game. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to send all of those programmes there, the chances are you're going to need those staff members. So is your question around, well, did you need to send all of those programmes to Prague for that match?
My question is around the overall number, and yes, it would obviously extend into, do we need to cover it through all those shows, for example. 41 is a very high number of staff and contractors, and you know, we need to find out how much that cost and the justification for that. Was that entirely necessary? I mean, obviously, we want to have coverage of the game. It was an important game. But, you know, the cost of the coverage and the number of individuals that had to go to cover that, it does raise serious questions as far as I'm concerned. And of course, we have the other issue that has arisen in recent days in relation to the Late Late Toy Show and the appeal there and the 855,000 in relation to consultants. Mm-hmm. I think that really does not resonate well with people in terms of individuals and public members across the country, you know, being very generous, giving of their hard-earned money to an appeal like that, a very successful appeal, which has done great work over the years. But then to hear that almost €1 million has been given to consultants in terms of the management of that fund, I think that raises serious questions as well.
The fund is around the 30 million mark, though, isn't it, in total over the years? So I suppose people who have given into that want to see that it's spent responsibly as well.
Yes, of course.
And that there's oversight over the spending, which is what that contract was for, as I understand it.
Yes, of course. But I know from speaking to many people, you know, constituents and others who have raised this issue with me, they would be very concerned at the level of spend involved here. I mean, mm-hmm. It is a sizable fund. I accept that. And we do need to ensure that it is spent appropriately and that it is spent in the spirit of the way it was raised in terms of the charity appeal. But at the same time, it is a very significant sum of money to give the consultants to manage that fund. And I think it does merit further questioning as well.
And Seamus, as I said to Alan, I'm in this weird position where I'm covering this story on the programme, but I'm also part of it. So again, is there anything that you want to ask me that would clear up the mentions of me overnight in all of this?
Yeah, and also, Claire, look, I welcome your clarification earlier, and I did listen to Kevin Bankhurst earlier, and he was quite clear as well that, you know, you were in full contract until the end of the year and that you had made yourself available, but it was a decision by RTE not to take up your offer of continuing to the end of your contract. So I don't think you have any questions to answer in that respect. Okay. But I think RTE would have some questions to answer in terms of the decision not to utilise your services until the end of your contract. Obviously, the replacement show and so on like that, there were costs involved in that. So I think there are some questions to answer there, not from you, but from RTE.
Okay, fair enough. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Seamus McGrann. Earlier we heard from Alan Kelly.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.